Adams, a call rang out across the land. Lair Adams, entertainer and entrepreneur, answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar, Christopher Hart. They team with lifelong radio pro Nostra Dennis. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Lair Adams, Nostra Dennis, Johnny Guns, and Christopher Hart, the American adversaries.
Hi there, Central Florida. You know what they say in Florida. If you don't like the weather, stick around. It'll change. Or to quote a philosopher whose nickname is Old Blue Eyes. No, not me. The other one. The guy named Sinatra. That's life. That's what all the people say. You're riding high in April, shot down in May. But I know I'm going to change that tune, baby, when I'm back on top in June. Or if you're the University of Alabama football team, 14 seconds, one missed field goal, and 109 yards later, your first place in college football bumps you right down to zero, riding high in November, shut down in December. Or if you're President Obama, you're riding high in the popularity polls, and especially in the trustworthiness polls. Then along comes the rollout of Obamacare, and the ensuing fiasco pulls you from 60% popularity down to 39% popularity. Riding high in September, shot down in November. Figuratively, of course. It's nearly impossible to ride high all the time, 100% of the time. But I know someone who comes pretty darn close. He's been a puppet, a pauper, a pirate, a poet, a pawn, and a king. He's been up and down and over and out. But I know one thing. Every time he finds himself flat on his face, he picks himself up and gets back in the race, buddy. It's your host of the American Adversaries, Christopher Hart.
Thank you so very much, Nostra Dennis. Oh, yeah, it's just a matter of habit. I find myself flat on my face so very often.
It's okay. Dust yourself off. You'll be all right.
There you go. Okay, welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. That's right. We're back. We are the American Adversaries, and we're back after a few short days off for Thanksgiving holiday.
Feels like 2 weeks off.
Yeah, it was nice, though. Did you enjoy it, Johnny? You went over to see your dad, right?
Yeah, had a great time. Great time.
Excellent, excellent. I hope you folks also had a great time. And we'll tell you a little bit about some of Dennis and I's exploits over the weekend. just want to wish you folks well out there, and hopefully that you're closing out, fine Thanksgiving weekend and doing so safely and high and dry, because it is getting a little wet out there. So if you're going to be out on the roads, just keep in mind, maybe give yourself a few extra minutes, because it's that kind of rain that's just bad enough to make the roads slick and make it hard to see out there.
So, just enough to make other drivers dopey.
That's right. So be careful if you're heading out. If you are, take us with you. If you're not, sit back and enjoy the show. We will be here for our Sunday night 3-hour tour. That's right. It's going to be Nostra Dennis.
Hi.
Me, Christopher Hart, and Johnny Guns, our WTF News Hound tonight.
There's people missing in the studio.
That's right. Empty chairs.
That's right. Lair Adams is out tonight. He will also be out tomorrow night. He'll be back Tuesday, though. He's out on the road. Carl will tell you where he's at a little bit later on in the show.
Good. He's going to phone it in.
It's a church activity.
Okay.
But, of course, we have Jeff Sinis, who's on the bridge tonight.
Hope to see you all.
There he goes. And rumor has it, Pasquale Barba, our co-sponsor of Cafe Positano and Lake Mary Jewelers, is in the neighborhood. So
really?
It's a good chance he's going to stop by a little bit later on.
Tonight there'd be two slices for each of us.
Hey, I like that.
We can't wait.
That's right. Okay, folks, as I said, welcome to the show. We'll be live for the next 3 hours. You're welcome to call 407-774-8255. Keep that phone and that phone number handy, because we will be doing our Who Said That contest, where we have a prize pack, which includes a $20 gift card to Cafe Jose Positano. And by the way, they've got a great New Year's Eve celebration coming up. We'll talk more about that when Pasquale gets here. But also, we've got a free bottle of Roxy Pacifics to give away again tonight. And this stuff is really great for whatever ails your skin. Give it a try, folks. We are getting just rave reviews from everybody who's tried this stuff. And it's the sort of thing that everybody needs in your medicine cabinet, right there next to the hydrogen peroxide and the basics. Because this really is a basic product. It is kelp water and other minerals and vitamins that very much mimics your own body chemistry. And that's why it's so effective for use on skin ailments of all sorts, be they chronic or they just happen to be, you know, traumatic. So it's, you know, from burns to cuts to you name it.
My wife and I saw the Hunger Games last week.
Yeah.
There's a scene in it where a bunch of the contestants were running through the forest to the beach, and there's this smoke, this mist heading towards them. And when it got them on their skin, they ended up with big boils all over their skin. So I leaned over and, of course, said, smart aleck, to my wife, hey, you know, a little bit of Roxy Pacifics will clear that up. They jump into the water at the beach. It clears right up. Now we know.
Imagine that.
Pacific kelp water.
So
right
that's
there,
where
baby.
He gets it from.
From the Hunger Games.
Hey, you know, the Greeks thought we came from the oceans. You know,
well, yeah, we have the same pH as seawater.
That's right. And so that was the womb, if you will, the embryonic fluid. All right. Speaking of embryonic fluid, we will be that fluid for you tonight, folks.
We will
be the knowledge that sustains your brain.
I'll never look at ocean water the same way.
Okay. As I said, we'll be live. Don't forget, we will be here until 8. And at 8 o'clock, Mark Walters takes over with Armed American Radio, and he'll take you to 11 o'clock live tonight. And at the top of the next hour, we're going to tell you about a little something special that we have for you folks out there, where we can maybe marry up your little Christmas a little bit, and we'll tell you how that'll help us out a little bit. So that'll be at the top of the next hour. Okay, let's go ahead and get started. We're going to talk tonight a little bit about the whitewashing and blame game that's coming out of the Democratic Party right now over Obamacare. We're going to do that in the second hour. We're going to also offer up the beginnings of what I'm calling the GOP rescue plan for Obamacare. Yes, I'm calling it the GOP rescue plan for Obamacare. And I'll tell you what I mean by that, okay, in that next hour. We're also going to talk about big government, big appetite. We have three agencies that are running roughshod over some people, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. Nostradamus is going to go into the past for us, and Johnny Guns is lining up some great WTF news stories for us as well. So we've got a lot going for you tonight. But first of all, I would like to talk just a moment about football and that game yesterday between Auburn and Alabama.
Holy cow.
Here's what I saw: the end of the Michigan-Ohio State game, and I thought, wow, that's the best finish I've seen all year, till about 3 hours
then
later.
Comes Auburn-Alabama.
Well, let's fill people in if they didn't see those things. I did happen to catch the tail end of that Michigan-Ohio State game, and it was a thrill. I tell you, this season has been some of the best college football I have seen in a given season since I was a kid.
Sure. UCF alone has been involved in
a lot of games,
nail-biters
coming down to the wire.
And I was going to say congratulations to UCF. I mean, they had to pull it out of the fire the other
against
night.
Against a mediocre team.
A two-win USF team.
After nearly losing to a one-win Temple team.
But don't lose the fact this is college football, and in college football, rivalries are important. A 2-8 team or a 0-10 team can come in and be just as big a threat if they are your in-state rival. Believe me, weird things happen in college football, and that's what makes it so beautiful.
This might become a rivalry. USF-UCF really isn't a rivalry. They played each other four times, USF was great. UCF was good at the time. Yeah. They tried to create it, but they didn't really.
I think between the players, there's more than you're giving it credit for. Let's just put it that way, at least on USF's side, because they showed a fight yesterday that I don't believe that they've demonstrated against many teams this season, which is why they're 2-8 or 2-9 now. But UCF showed the stick-to-itiveness, the trickiness, the audacity. tenacity to just keep grunting it out, and they won. And in college football, a lot of times you get upset in games like that. It almost happened yesterday to Ohio State with Michigan, to get back to that game.
True.
That was a thriller where Michigan drove down the field in the last minutes of the game, scored a touchdown.
And I said, I hope they go for two. I hope they go for two.
They, which meant that they were 1 point behind. They, it would have run out the clock if they would have kicked the extra point. It would have gone into overtime. And the guy was weighing the decision, would I have a better chance winning now than going into overtime? And I was sitting there thinking, too, I hope he goes for it.
Yeah.
Johnny.
I was telling my sister, when you're at home, you play for the tie, win it in OT.
Yeah.
When you're on the road, you go for the win. I was screaming at the TV, kick the extra point, go to overtime.
But the coach said he thought his team had given their all and had left it all out on the field. I think he thought they didn't have anything left. And
well,
they had to win it right there.
I don't know. They drove down the field in the last minute of the game and scored a touchdown. Perhaps he sold them out.
And that momentum can carry on into overtime. You've got the crowd.
And it cost him the game, ultimately, because they did not score the point after, and so they lost the game. Time was out, and there was no way they were going to be able to do anything about it. Now, jump forward to the Alabama game, Auburn. It was a situation where the game had gone back and forth.
Auburn had the lead most of the game, but it was a touchdown here, a touchdown there. They were within a touchdown
back and forth
of the game.
Yeah.
That's right. And in the fourth quarter, however, it looked as though Alabama had taken control of the game. Once again, though, Auburn managed to scratch back and scored a touchdown, which tied the game. And then Alabama had the ball with about, what was it, a minute and a half, two minutes, minute 40. And they were able to drive down the field, no timeouts. They were able to drive down the field, and or they had one timeout, I think it was. And they got to the, when they where they were in with a team that would have a good quality field goal kicker, it would have been within his range. Now, Alabama's field goal kicker had missed three field goals on the night. One was partially blocked only because it was so low it basically hit the guys in the face because it didn't get enough height as he kicked it from the line of scrimmage. And so the Alabama coach, Nick Saban, went with a different kicker. And this guy was a redshirt freshman. He had kicked two field goals in the past. It was within his range of those field goals. He had made one out of the two. And he teed it up. There was, and this was the interesting part to me, is that in the, no, they didn't have a timeout left.
Right, the because, very play before that.
They had,
the question
they had
was, did he run out of bounds? Was he in bounds?
Alabama had completed a pass, and as the receiver went out of bounds, the clock ran out, okay, which would have sent the game into overtime. There would have been no decisions. But instead, Alabama and the officials decided to review it. This was a reviewable play. And lo and behold, when the guy's foot stepped down out of bounds, there was a minute fraction of a second left on the clock, because no sooner than his foot hit the ground than the second disappeared from the clock. And in the slow motion photograph, it had been there for basically half a stride of the guy's, the 1 second, that is. And so Alabama chose to take that 1 second and try that field goal.
Why not?
Yeah.
Well,
57 yards.
Why not?
Yeah, but why? You can't blame them.
This time I was adamant. Tie. You play for the tie, or if anything, you throw a Hail Mary pass into the end zone. You don't, when you have such a suspect field goal kicker to begin with, and then you're going to go with somebody else because your regular guy can't do it, that should tell you something, that maybe you're walking down the wrong road. And sure enough, he kicks off, the guy kicks the ball, it looks pretty good, but it comes up short, which means, and the Auburn coach was smart enough to put his punt returner in the back of the end zone, catches it in the back of the end zone, runs up the left sideline, almost touches out of bounds, but manages to tiptoe up the sideline, goes 108, 109 yards for the touchdown, wins the game. And it was great college football, because the best part was after he scored the touchdown, when probably 20,000 fans converged on the field. Only
wild.
In college football.
It was wild.
It
yeah.
was beautiful. It was wild. But it just goes to show you, sometimes it's better to do the smart thing than the risky thing.
Maybe we shouldn't kick a field goal, guys, because if we miss, then that guy in the end zone might run it back 109 yards. That could happen. So let's not kick a field goal.
It's not that I'm saying that he should have thought that that could have happened. What I'm saying is he didn't have a field goal kicker that he should have had any confidence in to do it.
Mm-hmm. And he didn't have return team guys on the field to defend against that. He had that, big old guys who couldn't run.
That never should have got into the equation. His equation should have been simply, I have a tie game, let's take this to overtime and win it because my field goal kicker is no good. However, that was actually part of his logic to make that decision. And that is that if I get in a predicament where I need a field goal in overtime, I may not be able to get it.
Yeah, may not have the guy to kick it.
So perhaps having a crucial player like a field goal kicker, even going, 12-0, is going to eventually haunt you if you don't have a quality person.
Mm-hmm.
All right, folks, they're going to haunt me around here if we don't take the break. We'll be right back.
Ooh, the clock went down to 1 second. Zero.
Oh,
time
out. Yeah. I want it back. I want it over again.
It's political, professional wrestling at its finest. The American Adversaries on 660 WORL and on 1520 The Biz.
All right, we're back, and we're the American Adversaries. I'm Christopher Hart, and along with Nostra Dennis and Johnny Guns, we'll be with you until 8 o'clock tonight. And Pasquale Barba's somewhere in the neighborhood, and he'll be in with us shortly.
I don't smell the garlic. He's not here yet.
Okay, before we move on from college football, I do want to say just a couple more words, and this has nothing to do with the games per se over the weekend, but it does have to do with the Georgia coach, Mark Richt. He was an assistant for a long time, I believe, under Bobby Bowden at FSU, and then took the head coaching reins at Georgia for the Bulldogs, I don't know, about 10 or 12 years ago. He's been there a while. Yeah. And
he's done well.
Right. And this morning on ABC, and we've talked about this with Mike McBath and Reggie Branch and others on our show, and we'll be having Mike McBath and Reggie back soon, talking about football and the concussion issues and stuff like that. And ABC did a thing this morning where they're asking, is football, too dangerous of a sport? And did basically an analysis, if you will, of what they would call an analysis, and they tried to slant it that way. It was interesting, though, that the people that they talked to, almost to a one, and one was a lady who does brain research and on players. And she gets their brains and does research on them and has done some remarkable things. She's a huge Green Bay Packers fan. And her point was pretty, I thought, astute, and that was, okay, so you do away with football, then what? So you're going to play soccer? Well, guess what? That's dangerous, too.
It's more mm-hmm. dangerous because there's no padding. And you get knee pads to wear. That's it.
Well, it's dangerous for your brain, too, because heading the ball.
Sure. Yeah. That's the only part of your body you can hit the ball with is your
other
head.
Other than your foot.
I headed a soccer ball one time and got a headache, and I said, the heck with this.
Yeah,
I'll go back and play football. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
And basketball, she kind of went down the list and said, and especially for girls, these are other sports are very dangerous. And but Mark Richt, I think, kind of said it all. And we kind of went this way on one of our shows with Mike McBath. And he basically said, and he's got four sons. And the interviewer is saying, well, what do you think? Do you think football is too dangerous? And he basically said, no, what I think is Americans are too soft. Americans have gotten too soft. I think we need to think about toughening Americans up. Everything that happens in life is not going to be nice. I'm paraphrasing him now. But there's going to be tough things. There's going to be bad things that happen to you in life. And if you're not tough enough to take it, you're going to be destroyed by it.
Mm-hmm.
But it really says it all, I remember when we talked about this with Mike McBath, where he said, did you know that in Russia, American football is now becoming very popular. They have an American Football League. Now, I don't mean an AFL. What I mean, American football.
Football rules.
The way we like it.
Yeah.
I don't mean soccer. I mean American style, knock them down, drag them out, football. And one of the reasons they're doing it is, guess what?
Make people tougher?
Yes.
Yeah.
To toughen up society as a whole. And thank God for guys like Mark Richt, who are gutsy enough to come out there and unblinkingly stare right into the darn fool's face and say it. Because, thank God, it is right. We can protect
our kids because we love them by wrapping bubble wrap around them so that nothing touches them.
Well,
that makes no sense at all.
But that's what government tries to do, you see. And that's the problem that we have. It's a twofold problem. Okay. One problem is the liberals and the progressives themselves, because that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to bubble wrap us all, right? Okay, in the name of our own good. Isn't that what's behind Obamacare? We'll talk a little bit more about later. They're doing all this for our own good. All these plans are being canceled. They weren't good enough.
And we should thank the president for canceling
them. There you go. Absolutely. But the other prong is there hasn't been an effective resistance to this for 100 years. Look back for the last 100 years of the history of this country. It is becoming more and more and more and more and more and more liberal.
You mean since Woodrow Wilson?
Since the Progressive Era. Okay? And part of it is, part of the reason is, so many in the Republican Party in particular, and I dare say some conservatives too, have bought into the ideas of progressivism. Namely, big government, and two, prohibition. Right? We all have our reasons and our favorite prohibition. But once you go down that road, you have bought into the progressive argument. We don't like prohibition of abortion, but we like prohibition of drugs just fine. Well, guess what, folks? You can't have one or the other. You get them both. And you get the bad from both, in other words. It's...
Makes for some unlikely partners in the political arena.
That's right. And we sit around, we complain today about the Republicans not being much better than the Democrats. Lara likes to call Mitt Romney Obama light, and in a lot of ways he's correct about that. Certainly you listen to guys like McCain and Graham and all of them, you know, they want to have their own version of a big government, not have big government at all, which is why they excoriate the likes of guys like Ted Cruz and others who you presumably would think are really for a smaller government, but therefore they play the game too. They've bought into it too. So it's, you know, we got to get ourselves our minds right to begin with, to get the politicians' minds right, because they will follow. Yeah, that's what they do. They follow the breeze. They follow the wind. But when we come back, I want to talk about some big government programs that are run amok, that perhaps we can educate people about and perhaps maybe do something about this whole mess we got going on here.
You want to get your mind right? Stick it right here. The American Adversary, 660 WORL and 1520 WBZW. Give us a call, 407-774-8255, because we want to hear if your mind is right or not. Be right back.
This is professional wrestler and WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and I know wrestling. And for the best in political professional wrestling, listen to the American Adversaries on 660 WORL. Tough guy.
All right. Welcome back to the show, folks. That's right. You are listening to the American Adversaries. Plus one now. Pasquale Barba has arrived in the studio bearing delightful gifts. Tell us what you brought us tonight, Pasquale.
Sicilian pie with a lot of garlic.
Oh man, a slab of that. Now that my wife knows, I have to stash away at least one slice.
It is good stuff. It is good stuff. Good thing Carl and Lair aren't here, because we are going to fill our guts tonight.
We would have tried to save it, but it's just not as good the next
day.
But
before I come over here, me and my friend Rick, one of my customers, and it's my good friend too, we made a pie with olives and anchovies with the marinara sauce.
A pizza with olives, anchovies, mm-hmm. and marinara sauce instead of your regular pizza sauce?
Yes.
Black olive? Green olive?
Black olive.
Black olive.
Oh, boy, that sounds good. That sounds good. So, folks, you can get a custom order over there at Cafe Positano. And we're going to be talking a little bit more about some special stuff going on at Cafe Positano here in just a little while. Thanks for coming over, Pasquale.
You're welcome.
Appreciate you being in here with us tonight. And we're going to talk a little bit about some government agencies run amok, you know.
By the way, let me say one more thing.
Yeah.
The whole week, I know, was look, no news, nothing. How is my friend Obama doing lately?
Well, he went Christmas shopping the other day, so he's doing all right in that sense, I
guess.
Must
be doing okay. He's got a little spending cash.
Yeah, his poll numbers aren't doing too well, though, and we'll be talking about that here a little bit shortly. You know, his poll numbers are in the toilet. We're going to talk about Obamacare in the next hour. They're beginning the whitewashing process. You know, this deadline was yesterday, and today the website's supposed to be, quote-unquote, up and running.
Like, it's not perfect, but it's really good.
Like a private private enterprise website. His agencies are up to no good, though. He's doing pretty good, but his agencies are up to no good. We've heard, most of us have heard about the IRS has decided to set new restrictions, is how a lot of people see it, on these 501c4s. These are these nonprofit groups that have been set up to basically play a role in elections. You know, Karl Rove has his own group, and there are many, many others on both sides of the aisle. Many of these were the groups that were targeted by the IRS last year when they filed for the status. And I must say that a lot of these groups have brought a lot of this grief on themselves by filing for these nonprofit organizations. Anytime you file for a nonprofit organization, the government is going to take a great deal more liberties looking into your business than if you file a for-profit organization.
Do you think it's better then for a group not to even bother and just to be a regular business with no special tax exemptions?
That would have to be weighed with how they get their money and what they do with it. But for a lot of them, it would be.
Because I think most people who give, maybe not the ones who give tens of thousands of dollars, but I think most people who give to charities don't do it for the tax deduction. They do it because they think the money's going to someplace where it can help people.
Right. And what this is, what these organizations, these 501c4s, were set up to do is pool money so it would have the best effect. There are some organizations like the Tea Party Patriots, the guy from Virginia or from whatever. He didn't go through all this rigmarole with the IRS because he filed as a for-profit corporation. Yeah, it's their choice to do this, so they brought a lot of this grief on themselves. Having said that, the IRS is now issuing new regulations, which is going to, in a sense, curtail their ability to play a role in election activities. And the worst part is they can make more rules if these aren't enough. So maybe the solution is to abandon the 501c4s and go a different route to bypass what the IRS is going to do. Now, that doesn't mean the IRS won't come down that other road after you. But this is going to curtail a lot of the activities that these nonprofit organizations were able to do in the past election. That's the bad news. The good news is these regulations, which are still being written and will be continue to be written for the months to come, what else is new, is going to perhaps, it looks like, at least for 2014, have no effect on the election. But 2016, it probably will. And these organizations cannot have any reliability on going forward because the administration claims that what they're doing simply is to clarify rules, okay? Well, in government, nothing is ever really clarified, so that means that's opening the door for more and more rules and regulations to be written. That's the IRS tale. Now, the Food and Drug Administration is up to their own no good, if you will. Have you guys ever heard of a company called 23andMe?
Never heard of it.
Never heard of 23andMe? Pasquale,
no.
You're shaking your head there. 23andMe is, there are several organizations that do this now. And they are genetic testing companies. 23andMe is a genetic testing company. You can send them a swab of your saliva. What they do is they send you a little package. I've done this. They send you a little package and you swab the inside of your cheek with a little, like, kind of like a little scraper thing. sort of like a rough toothbrush, if you will, and you send that back to them. They do an DNA test. And basically all they can do is right now is tell you basically your heritage much more clearly. I'm part Cherokee Indian. Thank you very much.
Good for you.
Yeah, the civilized tribes.
Wait a minute. Can you open your own casino now?
I'm going to have to look into that.
Can you run for Senate in Massachusetts?
Yeah. Hey, look at that. How do you like that? But 23andMe, 23, they get 23. The 23 comes from
chromosomes.
The name, the number of chromosomes.
Sure.
Exactly.
23 pairs.
In human DNA. Exactly. You're very well educated.
It's double helix. My wife's a nurse.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. So 23andMe is about your DNA and you. In other words, telling you something about you. And this is not a medical treatment. They're not trying to diagnose you or anything. They simply give you this. And then they ask you also a question. Would you like to have your DNA used, not the actual DNA, but your profile used in studies, you know, for diseases and hereditary diseases and things like that? 9 out of 10 people, according to 23andMe, actually do that. What does the FDA have to do with this? Well, they should have nothing to do with it because it's not a food and it's not a drug, all right? But they are declaring that they should have something to do with it, and they're giving 23andMe and presumably other companies that do this, the same thing, a lot of grief, basically claiming for themselves the authority to regulate these genomic sequencing technologies. This is not, and as a matter of fact, a fellow by the name of President Obama knows that this isn't a purview of the FDA. Now, how does he know this? Because when he was Senator Barack Obama in 2006 and 2007, he sponsored bills trying to get the authority for the government to regulate these places. So now that he's president, obviously, he doesn't need a law to do it. All he needs is an edict, which is passed from him through the FDA. And basically, 23andMe is cowering down. Their statement to the Wall Street Journal was, "Our relationship with the FDA is extremely important to us, and we are committed to fully engaging with them to address their concerns." Now, they have already changed their business model and dropped some of their information to comply with what the FDA says is the problem, but the FDA says that, well, that's not enough. We're going to continue to investigate and regulate you. Thank you very much.
I have heard that there's a company, not this one, some other company, probably in California, that will take the information from your DNA and they will make a wall-size mural of it, a color mural that for each of the individual chromosomes, it details what they look like. And it just looks like almost like a test pattern on a TV.
Yeah.
But each one's individual. If you get that on your wall, no one else in the world is going to have that same mural as you do. And so a lot of people with lots of money and a lot of time to spend on stupid stuff like that have purchased these things for their homes.
Talk about time to spend on stupid stuff. Mm-hmm. That brings us to the FTC. Which is the Federal Trade Commission. And who is the group, this unruly mob, if you will, who is going after, who the FTC is going after? Piano teachers.
Yeah.
That's right. Little old ladies who teach piano in the parlor, and guess what? There are still people who do this.
You know, our friend Warren sent us this. I guess you got it yourself out of the journal.
Yeah, this was in Friday's Wall Street Journal. It's an article by Kimberly Strassel. You see her on Fox a lot. It's entitled Piano Sonata in FTC Minor. I see you have some details there, Nostradamus. You give us the details.
Yeah, it's going after specifically the Music Teachers National Association. It's a small nonprofit in Cincinnati, and what they are is they're basically a fraternal organization. It's been around since 1876. It's a group of people who teach music, and it's to advance the cause of music study and support music teachers. It's a 501c3. It's got 22,000 members. Nearly 90% of them are piano teachers, and most of them are women, many of them retired, who earn a modest living giving lessons in their homes. It's not exactly U.S. Steel.
That's right. And what's their sin? Why is the FTC after them? The sin, according to the feds, rested in its code of ethics. The code lays out ideals for members to follow, a commitment to students, colleagues, society. Tucked into this worthy document was a provision calling on teachers to respect their colleagues' studios and not actively recruit students from other teachers.
Sounds simple.
That's a common enough provision amongst all kinds of professionals, including accountants, lawyers, doctors, and others. But what the FTC saw this was an attempt for these mobster teachers to fix the price of piano lessons at $30 an hour, those thieves, even though you can still find teachers who will do it, some for free, some for $5, $10, $15 an hour. There is no set price. There is no monopolization of the teaching of piano. This is ridiculous. It is absolutely absurd.
You can go to any school that teaches music, any public school, government school, and either the music teacher there does that on the side themselves or can refer you to someone who does.
That's right.
There's no way you can monopolize this industry.
That's right. But the FTC is after them, and this obviously incurs legal bills and all this and that and the other thing. You know, all I can say is, there you go, all I can say is for folks like this, they should go on the offensive.
Did you read what the MTNA now has to do to avoid further harassment from the government?
Yep, tell us.
They have to sign a consent decree.
Yep.
They don't have to admit or deny guilt, but at every future national MNTA event, they must read a statement out loud warning their members against talking about price or recruitment. It must send this statement to all 22,000 members and post it on the website, and it must contact all of its 500-plus affiliates and get each of them to sign a compliance statement. They also have to have a person specifically designated to be the liaison between the group and the government.
Yeah. Well, to bring this full circle back to you talking about people having too much time on their hands, Brian Majeski, he's the editor of the journal Music Traders, lambasted the FTC in a December editorial noting that, and I quote him now, "A consumer watchdog that sees piano teachers as a threat either has too much time on its hands or badly placed, misplaced priorities." And that, ladies and gentlemen, is big government in a nutshell. You have a bunch of people sitting around in the government offices and the bureaucracies, basically with too much time on their hands and misplaced priorities.
This is what I think it is. President Obama himself, I think, is kind of envious of piano teachers because they have skills. They can teach people. They can actually take what they've learned and impart that wisdom to other people, something that the president obviously can't do. It's obviously a case of pianist envy. That's all I got to say about that.
Ah, the poor president. Okay, as I said before, and I might have mixed up my words a little bit, having to do with when I said prohibition of abortion and other things. But basically, the bottom line is this. When we accept a government, you know, a big government to do our bidding for us, that same big government's going to do the other guy's bidding for them, too. And who knows, but that bidding may be not worth the trade-off. All right? So if we're given up freedom because of pet peeves of our own, expect freedom to be taken away on the other side of the equation as well. That's what this is all about. All right? Big government is not the answer. It is not the solution. As Ronald Reagan said, it is the problem. And I don't care who's at the helm.
We're the American Adversaries. The three-hour tour continues. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being with us tonight. Hope you're not sick of turkey stew yet from all the leftovers. Do you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's funny. We went out to eat, my family today, and I could order anything I wanted to from Sonny's Road Pit Barbecue, and guess what I ordered?
The turkey.
Turkey.
What?
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you've got Pasquale Barba in the house, you've got Christopher Hart, myself, Johnny Guns, and the next voice you're going to hear on the radio is that of Nostradamus.
Nostradamus predicts the past.
Thank you, five-minute professor. The missus and I got a chance to babysit for the five-minute baby last week. Had a great time. She is 4 years old and smart as a whip. Okay, anyway, let's get to the stories that fell through the cracks this week. We tried to cover but just didn't have enough time in the hour. Do you know what fourth graders are learning at a school district in Illinois? They're being forced to read a Common Core compliant book, The Biography of Barack Obama.
Oh.
Sounds innocent, right? This assignment is far from innocent. This is what fourth graders are going to learn about the life of President Barack Obama, though he is referred to in the book as simply Barack, you know, to increase the coolness factor. Number one, Barack learned how to be black, which meant cursing, fighting, smoking, drinking, and doing drugs from watching television. Fact number two, whites are racist and therefore don't want to vote for Barack. Number three, Barack's pastor said that God would damn America for mistreating black people. The pastor called our country a failure. Well, in that one, right now, after 6 years of his presidency, he might be right. And number four, blacks and whites are angry at each other, and only Barack could make the country more perfect. This is what we are learning in fourth grade in Illinois.
Makes you wonder why guys like Bill Bennett and Jeb Bush want Common Core. Common idiocy is all it is.
I just can't. There is nothing I can think of that can make me understand why they would why they would go for that.
Well, like I said, a lot of Republicans out there like their own version of big government. Mm. Thank you very much.
Let's see. How about this one? A U.S. Air Marshal was arrested Thursday and charged with using a cell phone to take photographs up women's skirts at the Nashville, Tennessee airport. This is not a repeat of a WTF story Johnny did last week, week before?
I think it was 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago. It's not. This is an entirely new story. Adam Joseph Barsh, who is 28 years old of Rockville, Maryland, is a U.S. Air Marshal and was arrested while boarding a Southwest flight from Nashville to Tampa. A fellow passenger allegedly saw Barsh taking the pictures and notified a flight attendant. They turned the matter over to local law enforcement, and the passenger did not travel as scheduled. He was charged with disorderly conduct and released on bond.
What was his reasoning? Did he give any?
He did not say to the public, but he's an air marshal, so he might have been looking for underwear bombs.
No. He was looking for guns.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah, Johnny guns.
Oh. That is right there. You don't have to be looking up women's skirts for that.
Is that where you think you're going to find me?
I don't know about
next
that
story,
one.
Please.
Okay.
Yeah, please. Quickly.
We've touched on this story in the past, this knockout game. I hesitate to call it a game because it's not. It's simple assault of kids, usually urban youth, coming up behind people, usually in broad daylight on the street, trying to knock them out with a single punch. Of course, in Michigan, Lansing, Michigan, a teen playing the game didn't even want to use his fist. He wanted to use a taser. Well, he wasn't able to knock out the guy he was trying to knock out, and the guy had a concealed carry permit, shot him twice, put him in the hospital. The kid admitted that he'd done that seven times earlier to seven different people in that same day.
In the same day.
I have a fix. Try these people, convict them, sentence them just like you would any other assault charge, but then one extra step. Before they get their sentence to start, let them choose a UFC fighter or a pro boxer in a boxing ring or in the UFC octagon. Either go head-to-head or one punch blindfolded from the professional. And do it the right way. Do it in the proper weight class. You know, you get Rampage Jackson if he's a big guy. You get, Manny Pacquiao if he's a little guy. And if the person who's convicted is convicted of hitting a woman, get a female UFC fighter. What do you think?
It's a great solution. Unfortunately, the liberals would never let it happen.
Come on. You could even do it. That could even be a pay-per-view by itself before the main UFC pay-per-view. Yeah, I think it would be a great thing to do.
Well, unfortunately, it's something that needs to be remedied, but when the media won't even talk about it, when we won't even give it the time of day, it's hard to see how anybody's going to be able to do anything about it.
Well, that's just my thought. I throw this brilliant thought out there. If any of you want to claim it as your own and contact the UFC, please feel free.
All right.
And that's all we have.
That's all you have. Well, I got one. Have you guys ever heard of Senator State Colorado State Senator Evie Hudak?
Who dat?
Who dat? Who dat? Who dat? Who dat? Evie Hudak is a Democrat, and she was in the, I believe, the... let's see. Northwest Denver was her area, was her precinct or whatever, where she was from. She's decided to quit because there was a recall effort going that looked like it was going to be successful in removing her from office. You know, two other state senators, Democrats, including the state, the president of their Senate there, were removed this past fall.
Is this in that North Colorado area that was threatening to secede?
Where Denver is. And she decided to do this. You might think, oh, this is a great thing. Well, actually, it's not. Because of Colorado's Senate rules, now the Democrats will be able to name a replacement for her. So it basically thwarts the efforts of those who wanted to recall her. Even though she will be gone, some other fool will be there to replace her and carry on the legacy.
Sneaky, sneaky. We are so sneaky, we've already done the first hour of the American Adversaries. Rest of the three-hour tour continues. In a moment.
When America fell into darkness, a call rang out across the land. Lair Adams, entertainer and entrepreneur, answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar Christopher Hart. They team with lifelong radio pro Nostradamus. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way. Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Lair Adams, Nostradamus, Johnny Guns, and Christopher Hart, the American Adversaries.
Hang on a second, I'm just getting ready.
No,
I'm kidding, Jeff. We mean to turn my mic off.
Yeah.
Honey, I'm just getting ready to save you a slice of Pasquale's delicious Sicilian pizza. Okay, we can start the second hour of this three-hour tour, the American Adversaries. Jeff, how funny of you to hear what I say and actually think I mean what I'm talking about.
You fade me out there.
Nostradamus, along with Christopher Hart, Johnny Guns, Pasquale Barba, and you. And Pasquale was just saying during the break that he's sick of hearing the three of us flap our gums. He wants to hear your voice. You, the listener. 407-774-8255 is the number. That's 407-774-TALK on News Talk 660 WORL.
Hey, Pasquale, thanks again for bringing in the Sicilian pie. It's delicious. We were all just partaking of it during the break there. And now, you've got some stuff going on for the holidays. Obviously, you're not going to be open Christmas Day, but you'll be open Christmas Eve, and you are taking reservations between now and Christmas, right?
Yes, we do.
That's 407-774-8080 for Cafe Positano. And you're going to do a big New Year's celebration as well again this year, right?
Yes, sir.
That's right. And there is no cover charge for that. Come on out and make reservations for the New Year's Eve party, folks. If you want to get a table that night, please make reservations at 407-774-8080. You'll be able to bring in the new year with the American Adversaries. We'll be over there celebrating with you. It'll be a lot of fun. And as I said, there's no cover charge for that. Pasquale has his regular fare there, and you can get it's a full bar, and they have champagne at midnight, complimentary champagne, and a fireworks show. And it's all worth it.
You know, if you look around Central Florida, you can wait until the week before New Year's Eve and see what I mean, or you can listen to me now. You see the ads in the papers for these places that have their New Year's Eve things by reservation. Free champagne usually equals 50, 60, 80 bucks a couple just to get in. Pasquale is going to let you in the door free. You eat what you want. You pay for what you eat, and you get a free champagne at midnight and fireworks.
And you're not going to get those fireworks anywhere else.
And some music.
Go to Disney or something.
And music.
That's
and
right.
Live music.
Live entertainment the whole night long. It'll be a lot of fun. So come on out and join us New Year's Eve, 407-774-8080. That's Cafe Positano, which is 4 miles east. Excuse me, west of I-4 on State Road 436. It's just the east side of Apopka. And we hope that you'll come out and join us there. Also, I'd like to announce something tonight that we're going to do that's very special. And this is made possible because of our friends at Operation Safety 91. Of course, I'm talking about Ed and Mary Ganster. These are great folks, and they have given to us American adversaries to make available to you, ladies and gentlemen, beautiful Christmas ornaments. These come prepackaged in sets of one or three. In other words, you can get them individually or in a set of three. And the whole theme here is to keep Christ in Christmas. These are beautiful ornaments. They're about the size, I'd say, Nostradamus, maybe of a baseball, maybe a little bit larger.
Maybe a softball.
Not quite a softball.
Yeah,
but
somewhere between a baseball and softball.
Yeah. They come in the color of blue, white, and green. They are absolutely beautiful. They have a little gold hanger, you know, the thing at the top there that you put the hook in. And the blue one has a manger scene on one side of it, and the manger scene has the little manger and Mary, Joseph, and Jesus. And on the blue one, on the back side, it says, "And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger." That's a saying, I believe, from Luke, scripture from Luke. That's on the back of the blue ornament. On the back of the white one, on the front, is a star. And on the back, it says, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we have seen in his star in the east and have come to worship him." That's on the back of the white one. And then the green one has three wise men on their camels on the front. And on the back, it says, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem," from Matthew. And, folks, we are making these available to you. There's a limited number of them, for $15 for the set of three. It's $7 each if you want to buy them individually, $15 to you folks for the set of three. These are beautiful ornaments. You'll pay much more than that in any of the stores. And the best thing is it's to help keep Christ in Christmas and help keep the American adversaries on the air. Because other than the shipping and the handling, all the profits will go to this show. And I'm not ashamed to say that this show is a brokered show. I mean, we're here. We have to make money to make this show work, and this will help us out. So if you'd like to help us out and keep Christ in your Christmas, get you a set of these ornaments. Here's how you do it. You send, there's no taxes, shipper handling, $15 per set is the price. You simply write down on a piece of paper how many sets you want, along with your address, and send $15 per set in a check or money order to the American Adversaries at P.O. Box 536683, Orlando 32853. That's P.O. Box 536683, Orlando 32853. All this information will be up on our Facebook site. And get you some of these while you can get them. Get them while they're hot. And as I said, they're beautiful ornaments. They come prepackaged in like a little gift box with a ribbon on it. So if you'd like to give them away as a nice little gift to some of your friends, neighbors, and loved ones, please do so and get some for yourself. They are definitely worth the $15. So this is, once again, compliments of Ed and Mary Ganster at Operation Safety 91. They have given this to us so that they can help support our show. And this is a way for you folks to do that and to get something really, really nice and basically a family heirloom in the process. They're unbreakable and they're beautiful. So P.O. Box 536-683, Orlando 32853, $15 per set. All right. I hope you do that, and I hope you enjoy your Christmas that you have coming up. It's just a little over 3 weeks. It's going to be Christmas.
Yeah, I was reading at the church the other day, and I thought, wow, it's the first weekend of Advent. It's crazy.
That's right. If you get those orders in the next 2 weeks, we'll guarantee you we'll have them to you by Christmas, okay? So get those orders in. And as I said, we'll have this information on our Facebook site. We appreciate you folks, all the help that you give us. We appreciate you going to our sponsors. That's what makes this show possible. If we don't get that help from you folks, then we can't do the show. That's the bottom line.
Then you'll be stuck with Michael Medved reruns.
And to be honest with you, that's the way it should be. It
sure.
is really the way
it's
it should be.
It's called free enterprise.
That's right. Mm-hmm. You got that right. All right, we now have Diane from Apopka who wants to talk about something she saw. Hey, Diane, thank you for calling tonight.
Oh, thank you so much. Your show's amazing.
I appreciate you being out there.
I just want to share. I shared a movie with my family this weekend that they'd never seen or heard of, The Last Ounce of Courage.
Yes. Saw that movie. It came out last year, and it's making the rounds again. It is an excellent film.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about it.
It's amazing. It's about patriotism and keeping our freedoms and Christ and putting Christ back in. And it includes so much stuff. I mean, the bad guy in it is Jesse Jackson and the rest all rolled into one. And it's an amazing movie, and it brings tears to your eyes, and it's just an amazing movie. My kids couldn't believe it, they couldn't believe they hadn't heard about it.
It's called Last Ounce of Courage, and do you have it on DVD? How were you?
You can get it on Netflix now.
Okay, so it is on Netflix
and DVD. Yeah, yeah.
Last Ounce of Courage. Well, folks, I highly recommend to do it, Pasquale.
Diane, you been in Cafe Positano before?
I do. You have the best white pizza in the world.
You want to come back over there? I'll give you a $20 gift certificate.
I do. In fact, I introduce white pizza to everybody that comes to my house from your restaurant, and they all go, I get a pepperoni pizza and a white pizza.
Hey.
And I get the white pizza for me, and they all end up eating my white pizza.
Diane, it's Caucasian pizza. Come on, let's be correct here.
Yeah, the white pizza. The white pie.
Well, Diane, thanks. We appreciate it. And definitely
stay on the line, and we give you a gift certificate.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Diane. We appreciate it. And thanks for the tip about the movie Last Ounce of Courage.
And it includes Christmas.
Yeah. These are the great movies to see at this time of year to remind us what Christmas is all about, and to keep Christ in Christmas and to get Christ back in the public square, if you will.
And this movie's, in this case, literally into the public square.
Chris, I think you got to invite Diana to the radio. She has a great voice for the radio.
Yeah, we do need to get you and Jim in here, Diane.
Yes, sir.
We need to have you sit in the studio with us one afternoon and then go to have dinner with us afterwards.
Oh, I'm in.
Okay. All right. Well, make sure when you talk to Jeff afterwards, you give him your phone number. I don't know if we have your phone number. That way we can contact you that way and set all that up.
I will.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. And, folks, you can be a part of the show, too. 407-774-8255. Pasquale Barba's in a generous mood tonight.
Yeah, just call in.
$20 gift cards flying around here. So 407-774-8255. And please prevail yourself to get some of these ornaments. I think you'll be glad you did, especially at that price. Nostra Dennis got a set, and he already sent them to your mom.
My mom is a nut for all kinds of ornaments. She loves angel ornaments, and a couple of these are illustrated with angels on them. So.
Well, yeah, they have it's Christmas scenes, and so Christ, biblical Christmas scenes,
right? Not
Christmas
just ho ho Santa things.
You're not going to find
Frosty the Snowman is not on these,
right?
No.
Exactly, nor Santa Claus, but you will find Christian Christmas settings. Okay, once again, $15 per 3-pack set, or $7 for them individually. And you can get them by sending that money to the American Adversaries, P.O. Box 536-683, Orlando, Florida, 32853. All right, we appreciate that. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk about some Obamacare. We're going to talk about the whitewashing that's going on. We're going to talk about some other things, including the beginnings of what I'm going to call the GOP rescue solution. Yes, the GOP should rescue Obamacare.
You
and
think?
I'll tell you what I mean by that. I'll tell you what I mean by that when we come back.
You better.
All right, you are listening to the American Adversaries. It is Sunday. We are on our 3-hour tour, and we still got over halfway to go.
Keep it tuned here. If you're on 660 WORL, if you're on 1520 WBZW, don't move.
And you know what? We are live.
Live.
Brian Blair, the Killer Bees wrestling fame. And you know, when I want to listen to the truth in politics, I tune into the American Adversaries on Orlando's AM 660 WORL.
All right, that was our friend B. Brian Blair.
Who he was looking good.
Dennis and I spent lunch with him in the Legends Luncheon the other day on Friday. It was a great event. Saw some real legends of professional wrestling there. Buddy Colt was there. Some of you folks don't know him, but he was big in wrestling back in the 60s. 50s,
it made me feel good that you knew some of these guys and I didn't. It made me feel not as old as I am.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk a little bit more about the Legends Luncheon in the next hour when we have Sunny, our California girl, on, because it turns out some of them are going to join her in this coming year's induction into the Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame in New York.
Very cool.
So we'll talk about that a little bit with her. In the meantime, we've got Pasquale Barba of Cafe Positano in the studio with us, 407-774-8255. I'm sure if you call up here, it's a good chance you might find yourself with a $20 gift card. That's 407-774-8255. And don't forget, in the next segment, we're going to play our Who Said That contest, which is sponsored by Cafe Positano. So you want to keep that phone and that phone number close. And then in the next hour, we're going to give away a bottle of Roxy Pacifics. Right now, I want to talk a little bit about Obamacare. The White House is now in full damage control mode. The Democrats are, many of them are following suit, at least for now, trying to put a good face on this, or lipstick on a pig, as Lair likes to say. They came out with a report declaring success in meeting the deadline of November 30th of having the website up and running, whatever that means. It's still full of problems. It's still full of the same things that need to be corrected that was before Pasquale.
In the meantime, my doctor, he don't take my insurance anymore.
Yeah, a lot of doctors are opting out of the system altogether. They don't want any part of it, and we're going to find that to be more and more the case. This definitely is a disaster. There's no question about it. The Democrats can try to put a happy face on it as much as they can, but the bad news is going to continue overwhelming the good news, the bad news of people losing their doctors. Or in your case, Pasquale, not necessarily.
I'm still going to him. Well, I love him, and he's the only doctor around. He helped me, the problems I was have, so I pay cash. Well, I don't have a choice.
Yeah, and so in the name of getting more people insured, they are now causing people to spend more money out of pocket beyond their insurance because of the change.
Yeah, what I'm doing right now, I spend almost like $800 a month.
It's ridiculous.
And I got to do this for another 6 months.
Well, as I say, the whitewash is on. The Democrats would have us believe that these are all just computer glitches, and once the computer glitches are solved, then everything's going to be fine and dandy, and everybody's going to end up liking what they get. This is wishful thinking at best. Nostradamus, you're going to say something?
Yeah, there's a piece in today's townhall.com by Kevin Glass. He's a writer for them. That talks about, the headline is, "Don't Believe the Obamacare Spin. Here's What's Still Wrong." HHS is claiming that 90% of users are able to create accounts now. All that means is they can log on and they have a username and a password. That has nothing to do with whether they can actually buy the insurance that the president is forcing them to buy.
Up for the health care, correct.
And there's all kinds of other. There's still security breaches. There's still the back end of the site where the policy actually gets bought and paid for still has problems. There are still health insurers seeing enrollments that are duplicated, missing information, things like that. If you go in and try to sign up and you freeze up and you back out and go back in again, they are seeing that you tried to enroll twice.
Yeah.
So there are going to be some people who don't get insurance that think they signed up for. There are some people who are going to get duplicate sets of bills when January 1st comes along.
But according to them, once these computer glitches are worked out, everything will be fine and dandy. Well, no, it won't. The problems are just beginning. You mentioned the back end side of this. Folks, the problems that people are experiencing now simply have to do with signing up. Can you imagine what it's going to be like when you actually put in a claim and try to get payment and try to actually your health care provider actually try to get paid? It's going to be an absolute nightmare for both you and him and the insurance company. It's going to be a huge disaster in that sense, and no amount of whitewashing is going to change that. And the redistribution of wealth thing is finally rearing its head in some of the discussions about this. You know, they're counting on all these young people to sign up for health care to pay for the older, sicker people, right? Well, if you think about it, that is redistributing the wealth from the young people to the old people.
Yeah, but how you convince the young people to sign in?
Well, that's going to start coming here over the next few weeks when they roll out their marketing campaign. It's going to include commercials. It's going to include endorsements from political figures, from entertainment figures. It's also going to include television shows where Obamacare is written into the scripts of the shows, so that it will make it more appealing to the youth out there. And it's not going to matter that we look at it and go, look at, you know, how can they do this? They're just going to laugh and say, because we can. And it's going to influence a lot of young people.
Because the problem is not that the president is putting out a product that's inferior. It's that they haven't yet been able to convince kids in their 20s and their early 30s that what they're putting out is really a good thing. So the problem is just one of perception.
Well, what we're going to find out is if our kids have any sense about them. I'm not relying on those who were publicly schooled, but here's the situation. They are taking money from the youth, if you will, to pay for the elderly. Well, who controls the vast majority of wealth in this country?
The elderly.
Who has very little wealth?
The young.
So, yeah, we're going to take money from the people who have the least of it and ostensibly redistribute it to others? No. Mm-hmm. What's really happening is the money's going to be redistributed from the American public to the government. That's where the redistribution occurs. And in that sense, everybody gets left out in the cold, with perhaps the exception of the very rich, who are able to afford.
Ora, the government will say to talk to the insurance people, we pay the different, the government pay the different, and then we pay more tax to make the difference. So,
but that's what I'm talking about. You know, it cascades in on itself. The middle class and the poorer classes will be soaked to the bone.
And they'll get soaked much, much quicker. When you say soak the rich, that's a gradual process. Soak the rest of us won't take long because our bath towels aren't that thick.
I got news for you. The rich never really get soaked. You want to know why? Guess who needs the rich more than anybody else?
The rest of us.
No.
The middle class.
No. No. Guess who needs the rich more than anybody else? Guess who relies on the rich for their source of power?
The government?
The politicians. Mm-hmm. The politicians need the rich bad. That's why they love guys like Bill Gates and guys like Warren Buffett, as long as their politics is right. And even if their politics isn't right, they'll vilify them, but they'll still be glad that they're around because they can extort money from them. Once the real rich are gone, so is the power structure. So this has been true all throughout history. The people of wealth have been very much in tune with the people in politics, if you will, because the wealth calls the tune. And so the wealthy will never suffer like the rest of us. Never. Because the politicians need them bad. They don't need the rest of us. That's the way they look at us. That's the way liberals look at us. They don't need us. That's why it's so easy for them to tell us what to do. Because they don't need our input. Don't want it. They just want us gone. But it ain't going to happen.
It's the American Adversaries. Ooh, guys, we're halfway through our three-hour tour, and I think we're running out of gas, so we better turn back home. Hope we make it back to shore.
We'll never run out of gas around here.
See you in a bit.
Back from the dressing room to restretch their tights, here are the champions of political professional wrestling, the American Adversary on 660 WORL and on 1520 The Biz.
Okay, we're back. We're the American Adversaries, and we are live. 407-774-8255 is that number, and get that phone ready because it is now time for our Who Said That contest. You know how to play this, folks. It's very easy. We read a quote. You simply call us up and tell us who said it, and you are the winner. Okay? And tonight's prize is going to include a $20 gift card to Cafe Positano. And also some great calendars and copies of the Constitution. And we'll throw in a few extra little items in there, too.
Prizes from Bill Posey, too.
Yeah, that's right.
Nice.
So simply call us up and tell us who said this right here. It ain't enough to get the brakes. You got to know how to use them. If you know who said that, 407-774-8255 is the number. And don't forget, folks, the first caller, if no one else gets it, is declared the winner. And who knows, with Pasquale sitting here, it may just take a call to get you a $20 gift card anyway. It ain't enough to get the brakes. You got to know how to use them. Who said that? It ain't enough to get the brakes. You got to know how to use them.
Any quote with ain't in it is a good quote to me.
All right. Well, it ain't going nowhere until we get a winner. So 407-774-8255. It ain't enough to get the breaks. You got to know how to use them. Now, why did I use that tonight? Because I've talked about this on several previous shows, and that is that this is a golden opportunity with what's going on with Obamacare for Republicans to come riding to the rescue, if you will. Today, on one of the shows, former Senator Harmon, who's a Democrat, who was one of the ones around who voted for Obamacare, she's now retired, was on, I think it was Meet the Press. It was one of the shows anyway. And she was on there saying that one of the reasons that Obamacare is running into these difficulties is that it is an enormously complicated law. Now, that is an understatement if ever there was one. But here's the more interesting part of what she went on to say. Because of the political process that went into its passage. And here's what she meant. Because there weren't any Republicans willing to go along, it was left simply to the Democrats to pass it. Now, you would think if you were a Democrat, that would be good news. It would be much easier to pass. That's not the way it works in the world of adversarial politics. No. What the Democrat senators in particular saw was an opportunity. An opportunity to get a few perks, to extort money from the federal government. Now, do you remember the Landrieu thing, the Mary Landrieu thing? And you remember the Corn Husker hustle up there? And all these bribes is what they were to get the Democrats to vote for a Democrat bill. All right? Harmon is complaining that the Republicans allowed the Democrats to be selfish, greedy politician snakes in the grass.
And that's the Republicans' fault.
That's their fault.
For letting Democrats be Democrats.
That's right. And you hear Obama. Obama just this weekend was in California or somewhere saying, you know, part of the difficulty here is that no Republican wanted to help us out. They still are trying to make sure this thing fails. So what the Republicans need to do, this is, as I said, this is an opportunity for the Republicans, an extremely huge opportunity. The president's poll numbers are in the toilet. The Democrats' poll numbers are in the toilet. They're going to stay in the toilet as long as this stays in the news. And it will stay in the news for quite some time because it is loaded with bad news. And bad news always makes good news, if you will. I don't mean good news in the sense that it's good, but it is that is bad news is good for the news organizations.
Well, the media could shift. They could start to talk about Benghazi again. We could do that.
Oh, we'd just love that, wouldn't we? But so they're all complaining about the Republicans, you know, being part of the problem. So the setup is perfect for the Republicans. But they got to know how to use this opportunity. That's the whole point of this quote. It ain't enough to get the breaks. You got to know how to use them. The Republicans have got a huge break here. Okay, because the Democrats, the liberals, got what they asked for. They got a huge, massive, complicated monstrosity of a huge government bill and a huge government program. And guess what? It is a huge pain in the butt because it is a huge government program, which huge government programs are. And so the opportunity is there, but the Republicans seem lost. They don't know what to do with this.
You know, it's kind of like... a football fell from out of the sky into your hands in the end zone. And all you got to do is get 100 yards to the other end of the field.
No, this is better than that. This is the week before, or was it 2 weeks ago, when Auburn was playing Georgia?
Okay. And the ball popped
30
out.
Seconds left to go in the game. Auburn's got the ball. They're on their end of the field. The guy basically throws a Hail Mary pass. The two Georgia defenders, which were both in perfect position to intercept the ball, collide with one another, knock the ball into the air in front of them, where the receiver had gotten actually behind them. Mm-hmm. He caught the ball and ran it in for the score.
He looks up in the sky over his shoulder and said, "Whoa, look! Look what I found!" Touchdown.
He knew what to do when that football dropped into his hands. By God, he lit out lickety-split for that end zone, and Auburn won the game.
And without that miracle, the miracle last night wouldn't have meant a thing.
Yeah, we've got a caller here. I'll get to him in a second. But so the Republicans have this huge opportunity that has plopped itself down into their lap, and they're all over the place, and nowhere do they seem to have any sort of organization. Well, I'm going to try to help them out here. But before I do that, let's go to Rick from Orlando. Rick, thank you for calling tonight.
Evening, guys. Great show as always.
Thank you. How are you doing?
I'm doing better than I deserve, but okay. God's been gracious.
Okay.
You've got to hand it to Republicans. They are always ready to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory.
Yep.
They can't get their stuff in one sock. They can't get together. The one thing about the Democrats is they're united on their messaging. They may be lying, but they're doing it in unison. We can't even herd these cats into the same meow.
Well, you're absolutely right. What the Democrats have all working for them is basically they're all on the same page. They're all dyed-in-the-wool liberals. They all want big government, and so they all buy into it quite easily. And you're right. They do pool their resources, so to speak. The Democrats are a bird of a different feather. The Republicans are a bird of a different feather. With the Republicans, you have a much more disparate diverse backgrounds and viewpoints. You've got conservatives, you've got libertarians, you've got Christians. You don't have that so much in the Democratic Party. You have basically people who have sold out to progressive liberal politics, and that is first and foremost in their life, and it makes it a little bit easier for them. Now, having said that, that doesn't mean the Republicans couldn't do a whole lot better than they're doing now.
Absolutely. What they've got in the Republican Party is the establishment progressives versus the conservative libertarians in the Republicans.
Pretty much.
Lindsey Graham and John McCain versus Ted Cruz and Rand Paul. That's what we're looking at. The old establishment that liked the status quo. And I swear, John McCain would be happy to be in the minority party for the rest of his life.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that, as long as he can be on those Sunday shows. You're absolutely right, Rick. I appreciate you calling tonight.
Thanks, guys.
All right, thanks for being out there.
Have you heard the new name that mainstream Republicans are giving to mainstream Republicans who want to stay away from the Tea Party?
What's that?
Reasonable Republicans.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, we're reasonable, not like those Tea Party whack jobs.
Yeah, that's you know, you're reasonable, you're rational. Those are code words for you're acceptable. All right, let's go to Gary from Altamont Springs, who thinks he knows who said it ain't enough to get the brakes, you got to know how to use them. Gary, thank you for calling.
You waiting for me?
Yes, sir, Gary. Thank you for calling.
That's Harry now, not Gary.
Oh, I'm sorry, Harry. We got your name wrong here. Okay.
Anyway, if it's not a politician, it's got to be Will Rogers, somebody like that.
Well, you're close. It's sort of the same era, but it's not Will Rogers. This person was a politician.
It might be FDR if it's not that. So.
No, but you're much closer with FDR.
It must be a politician.
It is. It is. Hold on a second. Harry Pasquale wants to say something to you. What's that?
Yeah, give one.
Pasquale's saying, give you a $20 gift card, Harry. So stay on the line, and we'll make sure we get your $20 gift card to you for playing the game. And if nobody gets it right, you'll be declared the winner.
Ooh.
He's got good food over there. I'll say that for him.
You're absolutely right about
there before,
that.
So
thank you, Harry. Harry, what's your favorite over there?
Do you have a favorite there, Harry?
Sir?
Do you have a favorite at Cafe Positano?
It's all good. Let's put it that way.
It is. I tell you, it's a hard time.
My son likes the squid. You know, he's that.
Oh yeah, the calamari. Yeah, Lair likes to order that too.
Fried calamari.
Anyway, we'll be back though.
Okay, Harry, thank you very much. And
thank you for calling in.
We'll get your $20 gift card to you. It wasn't Will Rogers, but he's
in the right right decade, just about.
Yeah,
the kind of, sort of.
Very close.
The right era. So, but we still need a winner. It ain't enough to get the breaks. You got to know how to use them. Who said that? 407-774-8255 is the number. And the Republicans, as I said, they've got a huge opportunity here. And what they need to do is they need to take the lead, if you will, from the Democrats. Use this momentum that the Democrats are using against them against the Democrats.
Right.
I'll tell you what I mean by that, and I'll tell you how they may go about doing that when we come back from this break.
We are the American Adversaries. It's the classic show on a Sunday night. Johnny Guns, Pasquale, me, Nostra Dennis, and Chris here in the studio. You know what my favorite is at Positano's? Sylvia. She's the best. I love
She's
her.
Not on the menu.
No, but she's my favorite. We'll be back.
Pasquale's after you now.
Folks, I'm WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan. And if you really want to find out what's going on in America, check out the American Adversaries. Tough guy. Ho!
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 Here we go.
Yeah.
Hello. Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, folks, welcome back to the show. We are the American Adversaries. Don't forget, you can always listen to us at 660WORL.com, and you can hear replays of our show at our website, AmericanAdversariesRadio.com. Just click on that archive button. Okay, and 407-774-8255 is the number. Who said that quote tonight is, it ain't enough to get the breaks, you got to know how to use them. It was not Will Rogers or FDR.
But you're getting closer.
Getting closer. That's right. It was a politician, a liberal politician.
Kind of, sort of, or a liberal politician.
Yeah, that's right. A liberal one. And but it's a lot of truth in that, though. You know, breaks come to you all the time in life. Sometimes you don't even know it. And you got to know how to use them to your advantage.
And, you know, even bad breaks.
Yeah,
that's true. You can take and use them to your advantage if you know how to do it.
All right, well, the Republicans got a good break, if you will. The liberals got what they wanted in this Obamacare bill, and it's falling, it's collapsing, it's ruinous to people's lives, much less the economy and the health care system in this country. And they seem to be totally unprepared to offer anything up in return, any alternatives. And this is where they need to, and I quote, rescue Obamacare. What I mean by rescue Obamacare is this. First of all, Obamacare, if there is nothing done about it, will become ingrained in American culture in a matter of a couple of years. This is what the Democrats understand. Obama knows this. He knew that there was going to be some pain. Believe me, he knew that once these cancellations hit, and he knew they were going to hit, and he knows there's going to be a lot more. He knows that there's a lot more pain to come for Democrats in a political sense, and there's a lot more pain to come for the American public as we transition from the health care system that, well, we had into full-fledged Obamacare. What he believes is if he can get past that first pretty much 2 years now of severe pain, that once that is come and gone, it will be entrenched in American culture and there will be no changing it. And in that sense, I think he is absolutely correct. It is proven that once people get on welfare, once people get on the government dole, it's hard to get them off. And that's basically what this is all about. And so the Republicans need to approach this in the sense that they need to change that whole dynamic. And guess what? They're not going to do that by saying we need to repeal Obamacare. I'm sorry. The language has already been compromised. That's just not going to happen. So they need to change the language and say we are going to rescue Obamacare and say you Democrats have been blaming us for not wanting to participate in the process. Well, now we will fully engage in the process beyond just passing another repeal of Obamacare because, in fact, the House has already passed 40 or 50 of them. I mean, so what good is it going to do another one while the Democrats still hold the Senate and while the president still holds the White House? And remember, we're talking a time frame of a couple of years. So something is going to need to be done in the fairly near future, and most likely while President Obama is still president of this country. So it is going to have to be done within that framework. So it's going to have to be sold as rescuing Obamacare, not repealing and or replacing it. That is not going to happen. Okay, the president will not allow that to happen. Will he allow some political realities to quote-unquote rescue Obamacare? I don't know. But that is the only avenue that is going to be open to any sort of that sort of thing. And the solutions need to go beyond what we want to do is we want to open it up so people can buy insurance across state lines. Great idea. Been there, done that. It's the way the American public. Okay, yeah, we've heard that many a times. Okay, what else? Tort reform, another great idea. Does that play well in the American public? No. The reason those things have not happened is because they're hard to sell. So something else has to be sold to the American public for them to turn a steer away from Obamacare, if you will. And in order to do that, we're going to have to basically co-opt certain parts of Obamacare. In other words, we're going to have to more or less take the language and make it our own. Okay, the individual mandate. We need to take the individual mandate and make it something of our own. In other words, have a, if you will, conservative, quote-unquote, individual mandate, which, in fact, is not going to really be an individual mandate. But it will be a realistic way where every individual in this country can get health insurance. Because there's two things that the Democrats say over and over and over again that is their true goals, and Obama does this, their true goals in all of this Health Care Act. One is to get everybody who didn't have insurance insured. Two, to have a, and I quote them now, a competitive marketplace to get that insurance. That is, quote unquote, the whole idea behind the marketplaces, is to provide the competitive atmosphere for the companies to provide these policies. Unfortunately, then they turn that on its head and say, oh, you can be competitive, but you all have to provide the same product. Okay, so they destroy the competitiveness in the name of being competitive. So what the Republicans need to do is come up with a plan that provides true market competitiveness, which will include, but not be only, buying insurance across state lines. It will also include helping people who cannot afford insurance to provide policies that they want, not of the government's choosing. Second, insurance for everyone. That is where the government could simply, the Republicans can say, fine, we can do this, we can do it through the tax structure. You wanted to do it through the tax code anyway? Okay, we'll do it through the tax code. Here's what we'll do. We'll provide you the subsidies, you go out and buy the insurance on your own. We'll basically give you a food stamp card, okay? Except that card will not be good for food. It will be good for insurance. And if you qualify, you'll get, if you are completely destitute, your food stamp card, excuse me, your insurance card will be worth much more than someone. And they can work up the scale that way. They can take elements of Obamacare, compromise it, and make it into a free market system without, quote unquote, repealing and replacing it.
Now, these pieces are great, better than scrapping the entire healthcare industry, but they're already in the process of scrapping the entire healthcare industry. How do you, how does that work? How do you do it?
This is part of what I'm talking about. When we talked to Lenny Weinstein a couple of weeks ago, he talked about this. That repealing it now is practically impractical. Because we have already gone so far down this road. That's why I'm talking about Republicans need to take what has already been started and compromise it. Take it away from the Democrats. Make it into a competitive, true market-based system and still let it be called Obamacare. I mean, wasn't it Reagan that had on his desk a little plaque, you know, a paperweight or whatever that said, it's amazing how much you can accomplish if you don't care who gets the credit for it? Let it be called Obamacare, but make it a conservative version of Obamacare.
Now, you know, there's a significant chunk of the Republican Party, elected senators and congressmen, who don't want to go anywhere near something that has rescue and Obamacare in the same sentence. They don't want their fingerprints on it, because so far they've successfully avoided putting their fingerprints on it.
Well,
how do you get them engaged?
You basically, you know, put the fire to them. I understand that. Yeah, you're going to find these people like this, but they're the people who don't know how to take advantage of a break when it lands in their lap. This is a huge political opportunity, and they want to play it safe. They want to play prevent defense. That's what all that is let's don't say anything, let's don't do anything, because lo and behold, they might score on us, rather than take the fight to the Democrats. What I'm talking about is take the fight to the Democrats in a new, more sophisticated fashion. Now, certainly there are those who don't want to, quote-unquote, rescue Obamacare, but they are going to be the ones who get nothing.
Well, the insurance for everyone part of that makes a lot of sense, and that seems like an easy thing for the Republicans to be able to co-opt, because in the process of trying to, allegedly, provide insurance care for everyone, 30 million people now don't have insurance.
You know, I heard the brilliant Charles Krauthammer on Fox the other night. It might have been Thanksgiving night or Friday night. You know, he's now being called brilliant because of these great insights. Well, he must have listened to the American adversaries, because I said this very same thing that he was saying. I lost my train of thought. What was the point that you just made?
Insurance for everyone. People are losing insurance after being told that the goal of Obamacare was to provide insurance to everyone.
Right, okay, that got me. Remember I talk about the perverse rules of politics? And one of the perverse rules of politics is that most solutions end up making the problem worse. That's what he was talking about. You know, Obamacare, in the name of getting more people insured, is going to have less people insured. In the name of bringing health care costs down, are driving health care costs up. You know, in every sense, it is wrong. And this is according to Charles Krauthammer, after I've said it. In every sense, this bill is causing the opposite effect of what it said it was supposed to do. The Republicans can take that and use that and make something else of it, if only they have the guts and the will to do it.
Charles Krauthammer listens to the American adversaries, and so should you. Keep it tuned right here. We got callers on the line. We want you to 407-774-8255.
When America fell into darkness, a call rang out across the land. Lair Adams, entertainer and entrepreneur, answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar Christopher Hart. They team with lifelong radio pro Nostradamus. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Lair Adams, Nostradamus, Johnny Guns, and Christopher Hart, the American adversaries.
Okay, here we go, folks. Hour three of our three-hour tour. You are listening to the American Adversaries. I am Christopher Hart. I'm joined in the studio by my co-host for tonight, Nostradamus. He's also our producer. Lair Adams will be back Tuesday. Carl Jackson will be back next Sunday. Pasquale Barba's over here as well with us today. Brought in a great Sicilian pizza, and boy, it's delicious, of Cafe Positano. And Johnny Guns is with us. He's got some WTF news he's got lined up for later on in this hour. Jeff Sinis is manning the controls on the bridge tonight in the control room. And we've got some callers on the line. We've got Sunny, our California girl. We're going to get to her in just a couple of minutes. But first, we still don't have a winner for our Who Said That contest. Who said it ain't enough to get the breaks? You got to know how to use them. We've got Diane on the line. Let's see if she thinks she knows who it is. Diane, thank you for calling.
I'm sorry, I don't know the answer to that.
Oh, okay. Thanks for calling back. We appreciate it anyway. Go ahead.
I just wanted to know, why can't we all sign a petition, and I'm willing to go out there door to door to sue Obama for this abomination of health care?
Well, first of all, we don't have any standing to do that. The courts wouldn't accept the lawsuit, but there may be somebody out there who can. Perhaps a senator can do that. And
well, that's what I'm talking about. Well, if there's enough people to sign a petition to take it to a senator and even, right?
Well, you're on the right track. I have to say, though, it's a shame that we would have to do that to prod a senator into doing this sort of thing, because if it is an avenue that they can be taking, they certainly should already be taking it. I don't know how many times I've heard even people like John McCain say that this president has gone above and beyond his constitutional authority. You know, in Section 3, Article 2 of the Constitution, it says that the president, and I'm quoting now, shall take care that the laws be faithfully executed. You can hardly say that this man faithfully executes a law that he picks and chooses which portions of it he wants to enforce and which portions of it he doesn't.
And no one on either side in either body of the House or the Senate is calling him out on it.
Well, but I'm here to tell you, we the people need to go back and do a petition and bring it to somebody like Daniel Webster.
Well, we definitely need to be putting pressure on the politicians to stand up and do what they need to do. There's no question about that. And politicians, as a general rule, will respond if enough people do that. So,
well, I'm willing to put my leg on the line and go out there and get up any petitions I know.
Okay.
And I'm here to tell you that I can get people that will voted for Obama to sign these petitions.
Yeah, well, I don't doubt it in this era that's of Obamacare, and that's why I say the Republicans have a grand opportunity here if only they are ready to rise to it. All right, thank you again for calling tonight, Diane. We appreciate you being out there.
Thank you.
All right, let's go to Tim from Castleberry. Tim, how are you doing tonight? Do we have Tim?
Hey, how are you?
Doing great. How about yourself? Are you over at Cafe Positano on the patio?
No, actually, I'm a little under the weather, a little cold.
Oh, okay. Sorry to hear that. That's okay.
But I had I was thinking about your question, and I thought, boy, I know somebody that knew how to take advantage of people, especially women, and that was Clinton. And then I thought, well, that's not long enough ago, so I'm going to go with Harry Truman.
You're further off than the last guest, but
should I tell them that he said the person's name in his answer?
You mean Bill Clinton?
No. It wasn't a name. It was a word that you used. Would you like to retrace your thoughts for a moment? Because it was not Truman.
Yeah.
Somebody said, it ain't enough to get the breaks. You got to know how to use them. Said it a long time ago.
Yeah. I
just gave you another hint. Said it a long time ago.
I wanted to ask Paspali if he's
okay.
He's moving on.
What was that?
I wanted to ask Paspali, will he be at the jewelry shop tomorrow?
Yes, I will be there.
That's
okay. I might run over and see you.
Okay, of course.
Okay.
We're talking about Lake Mary Jewelers, where Pasquale is a jeweler there, along with Carl Scarlotta, and that's at the corner of Lake Mary Boulevard and Lake Emma Road, just off I-4. When you go east, when you get off I-4, it's right there, your first traffic light on your right. And they buy jewelry. Of course, they sell jewelry, great prices. This is the time of year where I know some of you folks out there who are going to be in the market for some jewelry, please go to Lake Mary Jeweler. Give them a try. Tell them we sent you. You can call them there at 407-878-6230, and you can reach Pasquale at 407-342-0179. That's Lake Mary Jewelers. Okay.
Great show, guys.
All right. Thank you, Tim. We appreciate it. And take a long, hard thought about that, a real long one. And if you figure it out, give us a call back.
All right.
We still do not have an answer. It's been a long time, but we still do not have an answer. It is a short quote, not a long one.
Okay.
It ain't enough to get the breaks. You got to know how to use them. If you know who said that, call us at 407-774-8255. And don't make us wait very long.
You know who's been waiting for a long, long time? Sonny, our California girl.
Patricia Summerlin, Sonny, our California girl. Hey, Sonny, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. Yeah, that was a long, long time.
We're 3 hours behind you.
So how are you guys doing over in Florida?
We're doing great. It's an overcast day, you know, kind of a real drowsy, blurry, foggy day. But, hey, this is Florida, so it won't last very long here. How's the weather in Los Angeles tonight?
Well, it's sunny again, mostly sunny, but it's 76 highs and 55 for the lows. But, you know, with a lot of breaking news, it's been, you know, not so sunny. It's very sad, somber day here in, all of the world, I would suppose, on the Paul Walker story. Mm-hmm. There's some good stories to cover. So whenever, you know, we can start, I would love to jump in on that one.
Yeah, well, Paul Walker is the actor who was in
Fast and the Furious franchise.
Right.
Yeah.
And what exactly did happen to him, Patricia?
Well, he was at his charity event, which he is a big advocate for, and he has his own, I believe. He was with the driver, which his name, I believe, was Roger Rodas. They were in a Porsche Carrera 2005 GT. And they were going, obviously, pretty darn fast, I would imagine.
They were
both avid racers. Mm. Paul Walker, his grandfather, was an avid racer. So it was handed down in the family. It's a very, very sad shame. But there was like a figure eight in the road they were showing. They're not sure if that was from the tracks of the car, but I'm pretty sure that's how fast they were going. It hit a tree and engulfed in flames. It bursted. There was no way to save either one. And the sad part of it all is that he has a 15-year-old daughter named Meadow, who he just had for the last 2 years. It's my understanding she was raised in Hawaii, and then she came out to be with her dad. And they were very close, like soulmates. And now she's now without her father. And it just goes to show everyone that every day is a precious gift. Yeah. Every day, because you never know what's going to happen.
Absolutely.
You know, we have to be thankful.
Absolutely. And, you know, how many times have we heard, you know, of a star or someone like that dying a tragic death? You know, it's, you know, just because they have fame and fortune doesn't mean they have everything. So,
No, he was a very humble person, by the way. He never had an entourage. He would walk around. He was actually raised in my hometown nearest to La Crescenta in Glendale. And to mention La Crescenta, we had a shooter here last week, and we never get those. And La Crescenta was holed up in a Rite Aid and ended up shooting himself inside the Rite Aid that I visited as a child every day. I'd go at when it was thrifties back then. And that just doesn't happen in that suburb. It just is crazy with these guns and violence and people around the holidays that just go off. I feel really bad. And that, again, is back to mental illness, which is another whole subject. But, Paul Walker, we're going to miss you the best, I think. I happen to be a car racer myself. I love car racing. It's in the family as well. And all the Fast and Furious did never. Oh, my God. I never missed a one. I was right up close watching. That was my favorite films. And I heard they're not going to continue with the last one, possibly, due to his death.
Hmm.
So, and that's just a very sad thing. And he was also a marine biologist, not just an actor. He loved marine biology. His love.
That's unusual. So. Most actors don't complete college if they begin to go. Wow, that's tragedy, especially for his family and his young daughter. That's for sure.
Now this is this is away from California real quick, too. Not to mention we had a Bronx derailment in New York, and RIP to the 4 dead and 60 people injured on that tragedy where 7 cars jumped the track.
Yeah,
and 150 people were on the trains, and another derailment in Mexico, 3 killed a day before that.
Mm.
So a lot of tragedies with our trains.
Yeah, the Metro North train, from what I understand, is on a route where it jumped the tracks at a real, real steep turn in the tracks, mm-hmm. and people who took that train would say, you know, boy, we're going pretty fast around this corner, aren't we?
Mm.
Well, this one just didn't make it.
Yeah.
It's a real tragedy. A real tragedy. Around the holidays, and it just seems like always it's planes or trains. It's now, and of course, fast cars. But just people, be careful out there.
Yeah,
you know,
we've had
slow down.
We've had some tragic accidents here on the roads over the Thanksgiving weekend as well.
Hey, Sonny, did you know that we, Chris and I, had lunch with some of your soon-to-be new classmates last week?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
We had lunch with some fellas who are going to be inducted into the Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame.
Awesome.
I presume in the same class as you next year, right? You're going in?
Yes.
Fellas like B. Brian Blair, one of the Killer Bees, is going to be inducted, along with Buddy Colt.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and a couple of other wrestlers that we had lunch with the other day. It was a great time. It was, I tell you what, I felt pretty small in that room of these bigger-than-life personalities.
Who was the guy we were sitting with, Tony?
Tony Marino.
Tony Marino. The man is 82 years old. He looks like he could still rip a telephone booth in half.
This guy, and it turns out he's the biggest teddy bear that ever there was. I noticed that there was this couple there who seemed like they didn't fit because it was a young man who was kind of slight in his size with his wife and baby. And I thought, well, how do these guys? I mean, this guy, he must be, you know, some kind of executive or something in wrestling. And it turns out he was a lawyer who was there representing their legend group. And with his wife, you know, just having lunch with everybody and everything. And I noticed how when Tony Marino, at one point, he got up and he went outside and he came back in and he had this little teddy bear. And he gave it to the little baby.
Aww.
And he came back and we were sitting at the same table with him. And he sat back down and eventually I asked him, I said, where'd you get that teddy bear you just gave that little baby? And he says, oh, I have a trunk full of them. And he makes a habit of handing out these teddy bears to mothers, especially with young babies, where he goes to work out early in the morning. He says that these mothers and fathers will bring in these young children, and the children are, you know, barely awake, and they're kind of grumpy, and he'll give them a little teddy bear, and they'll be just fine with it. And I thought, you big teddy bear, you. Only I didn't say that to him.
So Chris went and bought him lunch so he could buy some more teddy bears.
Yeah. And I tell you what, and then they ask us to stand up and say something, right? So Nostra Dennis gets up and he says, yeah, we're on a radio show and we liken wrestling to politics. I'll let Chris here tell you all about that. And so I'm standing up going,
handled it well.
Yeah, but we had a great time and, one thing I did say to them is that what professional wrestling provides is, a view into the human soul, if you will, because it incorporates all the things that, you know, that humans experience in their life. Love, hate, loyalty, treachery, all these things is what goes into it. And it actually is a very healthy thing, you know, to have that sort of entertainment, that sort of thing around. And that's why wrestling has been around for thousands of years, and professional wrestling ever since there's been paid entertainment in this country.
Sure. It provides a lot of it's the best entertainment, I think, for all ages, and it gives a healthy look, an outlook, and you can do it. Anybody can get behind closed doors and jump around on their bed and, you know, do little flips and flops. Once you get in the ring, it gives you that ability to say, hey, I can do this. Can I really drop kick this person? Can I do a high flying maneuver off that turnbuckle? Or can I bounce off the ropes? You know, it's a great thing. And I'm so thankful to my ancestors and handed down, thus before many, many years, that gave us the opportunity to be where we are. And I thank all my Glow sisters for being out there. I love you all. If you're all listening, hey, we did it. We made it. And some of us are still going. We're still managing to get our butts in that ring. We may be a little bit slower, but we're doing it.
Hey. And by the way, you can tell your friends that 660WRL.com is where they'll find us when we're doing the show live.
I passed it on, boy. I was texting everybody. So we probably got hopefully quite a few listeners today.
Hi, old Sunny's friends.
Yeah. And by the way, you'll be back with us next week. Before we let you go today, I did want to ask you about this one town in California called San Rafael, where they have passed an ordinance, evidently, that bans people from smoking in their own homes. Has that made any news statewide in California?
Oh, yes, it has. And it's San Rafael, California, and it was a 5-0 vote to clear smoke from parks, bus stops, anywhere, outdoors, downstairs, sidewalks. But the most progressive ordinance are the smoke-free multi-unit housing provisions that apply to any two units sharing a wall, including duplexes, apartments, townhomes, and condos. So, I mean, that's a huge victory for Marin County. And for all of us who really don't like smoking, I'm a non-smoker myself. I don't, you know, I'm not one of those that says get away from me if you're smoking, but I prefer, you know, no smoke environment myself. So, yay.
So you're for it, even if it's in a person's own home?
Well, you know, the privacy of what they do in their home, I have to say, I think that's a little disturbing. I'll tell you what, I'm not going to go up there and purchase a condo.
Well, that's the whole point.
Yeah, because, you know, I do have friends that smoke, and yeah. I'm not going to tell them they can't come in because you smoke. Because it's
now, Sonny, just so you know, I tried calling up the city council there, and I tried to get some direction on it. I wanted to ask them, no smoking anything? I mean, this is California.
Right, huh?
They wouldn't answer.
We're talking about anything and everything. That's going to pass soon anyway. Hey, you know that marijuana law is just, that's another thing. That's a happy subject, you know?
It is. I agree with you there. Okay. All right, Sonny. Well, we appreciate you being with us tonight, and we'll look forward to having you back with us next Sunday night.
Absolutely. We'll hit upon Obamacare, that lovely site.
I'd like you to give us sort of the lowdown on how it's going in California. We hear on the one hand that the California website works great, but then we also hear that about a million people have been canceled from their insurance. So
yeah, absolutely. There's so much to tell on that. There was 800,000 users, and with 1% error rate, they're saying. But, you know, again, there's the other flip side. You're only going to hear the most of the positive side, but it's a mess. High deductibles, 5,000 or higher, you know.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's absurd. It's really sad.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll talk more about that next week. Thanks again,
sure.
Sonny. We appreciate you being with us.
You got it. Have a great Florida day, guys, or evening, I should say, over there.
All right. You do the same out there in California, big L.A. All right. Good night now. That's Sonny, our California girl, Patricia Summerlin, and you can find her on Facebook at Patricia Summerlin.
We'll be right back.
This is Sonny, the California girl, and I've been around a lot of big, hunky, sexy, tough men. I like men like that, but only when they're brainy, like the American adversaries. On News Talk 660 WORL, these guys are sexy. And smart.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to the American Adversaries. We are in the midst of our Who Said That contest, and we're going to go straight to the phone lines. We've got Sherry from Castleberry on line one. Sherry, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing fine, Johnny. How are you?
I'm doing well, and I see that you have a guest for us. Who do you think said our quote?
Well, I don't know if he said it or not. You said a name.
Yeah, we were kind of alluding to that. Who do you think we were saying, referencing?
Well, it's a liberal.
Okay.
Huey P. Long of Louisiana.
That was easy.
That was a long time coming. Did our hints give it away?
I think so.
It was Huey Long who said that.
Huey got it right.
Yeah, of course, the Louisiana senator, aspiring presidential candidate. And he was right. You know, it would take a liberal to spell this out. It kind of reminded me of Rahm Emanuel when he said, you know, a crisis is a bad thing to go to waste or whatever he said. You know, there's a great deal of truth in that when it comes to politics, like
it's
it or not.
Just a glimpse of the truth that they believe.
That's right. And so Huey Long said it, so you're right, Sherry. That's right. You will win the $20 gift card to Cafe Positano and the other goodies, too.
I will tell you this, though. My great-grandmother hated him.
She did? Did she have any specific reason why?
Yeah, they took land from our family.
Oh, well, that would do it.
She was not alone.
They found oil on it.
Yes, yeah.
And the state took the land away, same for taxes, and she fought him for years in the court. It went from one court to the next court. And she finally went to the state Supreme Court and won.
She did, bless her heart. Well, did she get her land back?
Yeah, she did, but she had to pay the attorney. The attorney took it. There was no attorney in Louisiana after that would take the case to go into the Supreme Court.
Right.
She had to go to New York, and she got this Jewish attorney up there, and he said he'd take the case. She was out of money by then.
Yeah.
And,
okay. Well, Sherry, we're out of time in this segment. But thanks. We appreciate you calling, and you are the winner.
Thank you.
All righty.
Bye-bye.
Where you and the president can wrestle for the truth.
We're still in this wrestling match with
Blair Adams
and
Christopher Hart, the American adversary on 660 WORL and on 1520 The Biz.
All right, we're back. We're the American Adversaries. We're live for another half hour. Stick around because we got WTF News with Johnny Guns coming up a little bit later. We got Lair. He's going to call in his closing comments from the road tonight. And it is now time to give away a bottle of Roxy Pacifics. That's right, folks. From now until Christmas, every show that we're doing, we're giving away a free bottle of Roxy Pacifics. This is great stuff. You heard us talking about it earlier in the show. It's all natural kelp water. It's an antibacterial, anti-inflammatory. It's good for just about whatever ails your skin. You can use it inside your mouth. You can clean your ears with it. Some people are brushing their teeth with it. This stuff is great stuff. Anything that ails your skin, you need to have a bottle of this in your medicine cabinet to try it on it. It's great for burns, cuts, scrapes, bruises, scars, rashes, you name it. Roxy Pacifics, that's R-O-C-Z-E-Y, Pacifics with an X, .net. The first caller at 407-774-8255 gets that free bottle of Roxy Pacifics. The only requirement is that you have not already gotten a free bottle of Roxy Pacifics. Other than that, just be that first caller right now and get a free bottle of Roxy Pacifics. And if you order it through the mail, folks, the price that you see at RoxyPacifics.net is the total price you will pay. There is no shipping nor handling charges. I guess I should say there are no shipping nor handling charges.
It's free. It's free.
Yeah.
So it's free.
Nah, that's right. It's free if you call 407-774-8255. That first caller gets a bottle. All right. It is now time for our very own Johnny Guns.
Perfect timing. You scheduled WTF News right now when I can't call in and win the free bottle of Roxy Pacifics.
You already got one.
All right. Thanksgiving has become but an appetizer to Black Friday, it seems. And now it seems that Black Friday is attempting to swallow Thanksgiving by opening stores on Thursday afternoon. Some shoppers were calling Thanksgiving Blue Thursday because it was sad to miss Thanksgiving dinner to either shop or wait in line for stores to open. Crazy Central Florida consumers who left loved ones and warmth to get a 5,200-inch TV for 25 cents do have something to be thankful for. And that is they don't live in Anchorage, Alaska. Temperatures in Anchorage were 16 degrees, with a wind chill dipping to 5 below on Wednesday. Those brave shoppers, no, that's not the right word. Those weird shoppers brought with them hand warmers, sleeping bags, and frozen water bottles holding down tarps wrapped around them like blankets. One lady earns to have the adjective intelligent used next to her name because the intelligent Annie Luck set up a dummy to keep her place in line while she slept in her kind of warm car. Complete with construction hat, heavy coat, and a face mask, the dummy fooled a security guard who was yelling at it. Gotta love that.
Right. Okay.
The holidays are a prime time for crooks to steal passenger bags at airports. However, according to Denver International Airport spokesperson Stacy Stegman, that doesn't happen often. Stegman, who was standing in the airport's baggage claim area giving an interview to a local television station, was proud to admit that only 15 bags have been reported as stolen at Denver International Airport this year. As Stegman was on camera boasting, bag number 16 was stolen just less than 100 feet away. After the bag was reported stolen, Denver police investigated and learned via airport security footage that the luggage was stolen within eyeshot and at the time of the interview with the airport administrator.
Come back here.
I love this. Said a Denver police sergeant, quote, I just wanted to confirm that there was indeed a theft of a bag just a carousel or two away from where you were filming. The bag was found in another section of the airport, minus almost $3,000 worth in clothing, sporting goods, and electronics. After this news broke, officials at Denver International Airport canceled another interview scheduled to talk about flight delays.
Let's hope they don't give any involving crashes.
I almost went there, but I thought, nah, let's go with flight delays.
Okay, all right. I'll take it back.
Let's end the Thanksgiving weekend with not so much a funny, but a thoughtful story. A homeless man entered a Salt Lake City Mormon church last Sunday to a rather mixed reaction. Many of the adult members attending the Thanksgiving-themed service ignored the dirty man from the streets. One member, allegedly concerned about the safety of the congregation, told him to leave church property. Another member described him as dirty, crippled, old, and mumbling to himself. The one group of people who seemed to embrace the homeless man were the children. The Thanksgiving service included an open mic where people could announce what they were thankful for. The homeless man walked to the pulpit, quoted the song, "Have I Done Any Good in the World Today?" said what he was thankful for, and then revealed himself as the church's Bishop David Musselman. The bishop enlisted the help of a makeup artist to come up with a disguise so good that no one, not even his family, could recognize him. The bishop said that his intention wasn't to embarrass or shame anyone, but to remind people to be kind to everyone from all walks of life, not just at the holidays, but all year long.
What a great lesson.
Yeah.
That reminds me, what's that TV show where the boss...
Undercover Boss.
Undercover Boss,
just like that.
Undercover Bishop. Hey,
right.
A new reality show.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, everyone you see, if you're a Christian and believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, everyone you see, even the dirty guy with the cardboard sign looking for a meal, everyone is Christ.
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely right. All right, great work, Johnny. Great work. How about this? Did you know that there are there's a new group of people who are saying, don't shut down Gitmo?
It's not the people in Gitmo.
Oh, yes, it is.
Really? They don't want...
That's right. Prisoners fight U.S. over exit from Gitmo.
Ha.
This is it came out this week. The Obama administration's effort to close the Guantanamo Bay prison has hit a snag. Detainees who don't want to be repatriated.
Wow.
Two Algerian citizens who are being held at the naval base in Cuba especially do not want to go home. They say they fear that Islamic extremists will try to recruit them and may attack or kill them when they discover the detainees don't share their commitment to violence. Evidently, these guys have been rehabilitated. They have a lawyer by the name of Robert Kirsch. He has brought in the Red Cross. He says that the administration is hastening the repatriation so that they can show actual movement toward closing down Gitmo. One of his promises, remember? He promised he would close Gitmo, his first act as president.
It might be his last act as president.
Yeah. Mr. Kirsch, their lawyer, said delegates from the International Committee of the Red Cross visited both men for exit interviews this week, which is something they do as a routine before these prisoners are released, a routine procedure ahead of transfer from Guantanamo. Both men told the Red Cross officials of their objections to a repatriation. The agency has asked the U.S. to reconsider its decision. Of course, the U.S. doesn't want to reconsider because they want to close it down. However, this from the lawyer. Consistent with the Convention Against Torture, isn't this beautiful? Consistent with the Convention Against Torture and our own commitment to human rights, the United States is firm in its commitment to not transfer detainees to countries where we believe they would face torture.
Right.
So I guess they'll stay.
Wow. They could just...
Isn't that great, though?
How far is it from Gitmo to Maricopa County, Arizona? They could just send them all to Sheriff Joe, and he will treat them right.
That may be part of the problem. You know, they are really coddled down there. Other than that, the fact that they're in prison, I mean, they got their own chef. They pray as often as they want during the day. I mean, it's pretty sweet as far as prisons go. Let's just put it that way. So you never know. Speaking of the president's promises... You know, he and the First Lady gave an interview to Barbara Wawa, Barbara Walters.
What kind of a twee are you, Michelle?
And
one with a real thick root.
Yeah. Ooh, you better watch out. Mm-hmm. One with a big trunk. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
With a lot of junk in it.
Yeah.
Evidently, one of the things that she said, I got this from Marshall, one of the things that the First Lady said to Barbara Walters was that our president, her president, the president, always keeps his promises.
Yeah.
Evidently, Barbara Walters didn't say something like, yeah, listen, when it comes to Obamacare and keeping your plan or keeping your doctor or closing Gitmo or any of the other promises that he's broken along the way. I mean, what nonsense. But, I mean, she's his wife. I mean, let's go.
Right.
What do we expect?
Stand by your man.
What do we expect her to say?
That skinny runt, he doesn't take out the trash when I tell him to. Oh, he's just...
No, we're not going to get that from her. Even though she may feel it, she's not going to say it. Oh, well. And how about this for WTF News? Switzerland, in a national referendum, has rejected caps on executive pay. They had come up with a referendum to cap executive pay, they're talking about corporate, for-profit corporations, to cap executive pay, and I believe it was 12 times the amount of their lowest paid worker. And at least the Swiss public had enough sense to know that that was a tremendously, extremely bad idea, and they rejected it. So there is hope in the world, even if it isn't. In this country.
What would be the goal of that, other than to redistribute wealth?
To make fairness. It's all about fairness.
Okay.
Right?
Then all your best executives would go to Germany and Austria and everywhere else in Europe.
That's what the Swiss people soon figured out, that it would have been devastating to their economy. Only if we could do the same thing here, you know, figure these sorts of things out. All right. Well, anyways, it's job security for us.
I guess so. We're the American Adversaries. It's a Sunday night show.
Lair Adams with his closing comments is coming up next.
We'll be right back.
Seaside hometown of Positano, Italy, Chef Pasquale Barber brings his exclusive family recipes to Central Florida and Cafe Positano. Whether you're looking for true Italian pizza and calzone or their mouth-watering special dishes and elegant dining at an affordable price, let Cafe Positano show you why food is not a business, but a passion. Cafe Positano is 4 miles west of I-4 on 436. Call 407-774-8080. Pasquale?
I want to thank you everybody to come to Cafe Positano.
Go for the gold with Randy Everett in Florida Home Radio. Saturdays at 7 a.m. and 4 p.m. Randy Everett is Central Florida's premier real estate professional with many years broadcasting Central Florida's number one real estate show on the radio. And now he's teamed up with co-host Mike Smalley, nationally recognized mortgage expert. And together they bring you the latest trends, rates, and premier properties available to you. Call Randy now if you're getting ready to buy or sell. 407-448-0770 or go to randyeverett.com. Go for the gold with Randy Everett and get results now. It's all new, the Orlando Tithe Network. Visit OrlandoTitheNetwork.com right now. Because when you purchase a product or service from one of our category-exclusive Orlando Tithe Network members, that business will donate up to 10% of your purchase back to the church of your choice. Visit online right now, OrlandoTitheNetwork.com. And these are purchases you make all the time, from computer service to fitness, weight loss, flooring, and so much more. So before you shop, visit OrlandoTitheNetwork.com first. Visit online today, OrlandoTitheNetwork.com.
It's a trip you've always wanted to take, but never thought possible. Anywhere else would be just another seaside resort, but you're in one of the most dynamic regions of the world. You're in Israel, the region that celebrates the history, the culture, and the pioneering spirit of the people of the Holy Land, a place God called my land. Genesis Tours and Salem Communications present Experience Israel. 9 exciting days of travel that will take you from the northern heights of Galilee to the southern Judean wilderness, experiencing the wonder of the Bible coming to life and the miracle of prophecy fulfilled in the life of the modern state of Israel. You will walk where Jesus walked and experienced firsthand prophetic sights, the beauty of Mediterranean landscapes, culinary delights, and a whole lot more. Make plans now to experience Israel next October 17th through October 26th, 2014. Visit SalemGoIsrael.com or call 855-867-2536 to find out more and reserve your trip today. Experience Israel, where the Bible comes to life.
Hello, this is Mark Merrill, former WCW World Television Champion, Johnny B. Bad. It's a good day to be a bad man, but it's even a better day to listen to the American Adversaries. And you better listen. Don't let me come and get you, because it's going to be a blessing to teach you a lesson.
Oh, yeah. Mark Merrill, Johnny B. Bad, and Johnny Guns is in the studio with me, I am Nostradamus. There's Christopher Hart. There's Jeff Sennis on the other side of the glass, and it is the last segment of our show. And you know what that means? Even when he's not here, he's on the air, literally phoning it in tonight. Lair Adams with Lair's closing comments. Take it away, Lair.
Thank you so much, Nostradamus. And I have a special treat for everyone and all of our listeners tonight, and here goes.
This is Lair's mother. I just hope everybody have a beautiful, beautiful Thanksgiving, and I hope you have an even better Christmas.
God bless you. Thank you very much, Ms. Adams.
I love that.
Yeah, she loves all you guys, too. She talks about you like you're her sons, too. Doggone it. Oh, well. Guys, you know, oh, what a strange world we live in. Stranger still are many of its inhabitants. In fact, it's almost freakish how different we humans are from each other. One of the best examples of this is the old black and white film produced in the 40s called Freaks. It was a classic, and I had actually never seen it before, only little snippets of scenes, until recently when I had the chance to view the entire film. Now, if you haven't seen it, I'm sure you felt like me, it was an early horror film. That's because the trailers, or previews, as they were called back then, did indeed present the movie as a macabre gathering of evil human monster freaks. However, after viewing the film, you realize you were cheated, and the hype of horrible fright was merely to sell tickets. Instead, what you end up with is a project of love that probably started out as just another scary picture. I say that because of the beautiful, naturally talented cast of actual deformities the director assembled. You have to remember the time. Until recently, all abnormalities were shunned and ostracized by society. We all know John Merrick, the Elephant Man story, but in pre-war America, his kind were simply freaks. The story is dopey and contrived. But the film did something no other had ever done, presented humans with terrible physical afflictions and a loving and humane light. There is the man with no legs or even waist who moves around quite amazingly on his hands. Another armless and legless gentleman performs the incredible task of opening a box of matches and lighting a stogie with only his mouth. The reason this film was considered a horror classic is because of those previews I mentioned. They show a small army of misshapen creatures with knives in their mouths slithering through mud towards a screaming woman. In truth, in the story, they have banded together to fight the evil outsiders bent on taking away their very existence. It's a sweet movie. I recommend you watch it. But my point isn't about the film. What do you think of when you hear the word freak? If freak means different, aren't we all freaks? It's interesting how the more hideous or beautiful people are, the more we want to see them. We've all expressed or experienced freakish behavior in our lives. If we all do it, how can it be freakish? We gawk at movie stars when we see them in person. Why? Because they're freaks. They look like the person in the movies, but the person in the movies isn't them. Freakish, huh? So the next time you have to look upon a misshapen person, just realize you're both freaks, and be kind. Have a great week, and don't freak out over the holidays, folks. And thanks, guys. Have a great night.
That was very good, Lair. Very, very good. Enjoyed that very much. Okay, that was Lair Adams, and once again, very profound that he's right about that. We're all freaks in our own way. I know I've been called that many a time.
Okay, who's the football player? Is it Javon Kersey?
Yeah, Javon Kersey.
His nickname is
The Freak.
the freak.
Yeah.
All right.
He embraces it.
All right. Once again, thanks to Lair Adams for that. Thanks you, folks, for being with us for our three-hour tour tonight. We're just about out of time. Don't forget, Mark Walters will be up next, and he'll take you till 11 o'clock with a live show. At that time, at 11 o'clock, it'll be a great taped show by Pat Williams. The guy does great interviews. Anyways, Mark Walters, Armed American Radio, coming up next live. Don't forget, Carl Jackson does his show every Saturday morning live. He was not with us tonight because he has been a spokesman for his church, who has found themselves in a bit of a controversy. We'll talk about this more as we find out more details. Hopefully it's nothing, but there are some members of the press who are trying to make something out of it. A little girl, evidently. Well, I don't even want to get into any of the facts because we know very little about it. We'll just let Carl fill us in on that.
If we can, we'll bring it to you tomorrow. If not, we'll bring it to you later in the week.
Yeah, we'll get Carl to help us out on that. Also, don't forget Marshall Polston. He's live every Saturday, 2 to 3 p.m. The guy,
isn't he a pistol?
He sure is, and he does a great job. That dude is going to go a long way, as will Carl. Don't forget, for Nick LoCicero, WDW, the news radio show, and he comes on every Saturday on 1520 WBDW at 7 o'clock.
I hope his radiothon thing went well because I don't see him sleeping in a studio in the back, but they did a 25-hour radiothon marathon on the Internet.
And it was over last night, so hopefully it did go well. And don't forget, folks, to help us out and get yourself some beautiful new Christmas ornaments. These come in the colors of blue, white, and green. The blue has a manger scene on one side and a Bible verse on the other side. The white has a star on one side and a Bible verse on the other side, and the green has the three wise men on their camels on one side and the appropriate Bible verse on the other side. These are about mid-size between a baseball and a softball. They're beautiful ornaments, and you're going to want them on your tree, and you'll maybe want to make some gifts out of them. The whole purpose of them is to keep Christ in Christmas, and we're selling them for $15 for a set of three, $7 individually, and you can get them by simply sending a check or money order for $15 per set of three for however many sets you want. There are limited quantities, though, to American Adversaries, P.O. Box 536-683, Orlando 32853. That's P.O. Box 536-683, Orlando 32853. We'll have all this information up on our Facebook site in the morning, and this will be good now through Christmas, but get those orders in so you can get those ornaments on your tree before Christmas so you'll be able to enjoy them.
I just got a text from my wife. She doesn't want one. She wants two.
Oh, okay, great. So this will be, you know, as I say, it's an excellent opportunity for you to show support for Christmas and keeping Christ in Christmas, show support for us, and help yourself out by getting some really beautiful Christmas ornaments. And these will look great on any tree. And if you have any, you know, family members who are Christians, this would be a great gift for them. And $15 for a set of three, that's cheap. So for what you're getting, it is a really quality product. We want to thank Ed and Mary Ganster from Operation Safety 91 for making these available to our listeners and our listeners alone.
Chris, how is your neighborhood for Christmas decorations? Are there people who have their stuff up already?
Since the economy collapsed, it hasn't been very good, but there are a couple of people who have got their stuff up already, I've noticed this year. It seems maybe it'll be a little bit better than last year.
Yeah. We'll
see.
About you, Johnny?
No, haven't noticed.
Yeah, yeah. See, the stores get all pumped up for, you know, Thanksgiving things. I think most people put up the Christmas lights around the 15th.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, some people like to start early, some people start late.
I will say the restaurant I went to today, we walked in and they were putting up the Christmas tree and all the Christmas decorations. They had all the employees were gathered together and putting up stockings and everything. It was really cool to see.
To me as a kid, you know, the part of the fun of the holidays was the lead up and decorating and stuff like that, you know, and so Christmas especially. So, you know, enjoy it, folks, and please help us help you do some of your decorating with these ornaments. They really are beautiful, and you'll be able to see pictures of them on our Facebook, American Adversaries, our Facebook page, tomorrow. But please order these and order them now because there is a limited quantity, and we want to make sure everybody that wants a pair, or excuse me, a set, can get a set. So, but we're not going to put any limits on your order. If you want to order 10, We'll give you 10.
Want to clean us out? Clean us out.
Clean us out. P.O. Box 536-683, Orlando 32853. $15 for a set of three, $7 if you want to buy them individually. And these are great ornaments, and I'm sure you will enjoy them. And we enjoy having you as listeners to our show and all you great callers. We enjoy you being out there. And, of course, Pasquale Barbara coming by and bringing the pizza. We enjoy that, too. Mm-hmm. Nothing wrong with that. And don't forget, we will be back tomorrow. Nostra Dennis and I will be with you. Lair will be joining us live in the studio again on Tuesday, at which time Abe Katzman is going to join us on Tuesday as well.
Now, remember, he's not going to be our man in Jerusalem. He's going to be our man in New York or Boston or wherever, because he's coming over to the States this week.
He'll actually be flying over on Monday, and we'll talk to him on Tuesday.
And Wednesday?
Be Brian Blair. We're going to have him back on, and we'll be talking about his induction into the Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame, as well as some politics as well. You know, he's a politician now, so it's perfect. And once again, thanks, folks, for being with us tonight. Don't forget, Mark Walters is coming up next.
We are the American Adversaries. We thank you so much for being a part of our Sunday night, and thank you for letting us be a part of your Sunday night. Don't forget, you can be a part of our weeknights as well, 5 to 6, Monday to Friday, 5 to 8, Sunday night.
That's right, and you heard Lair talk about the fellow with no arms and legs who could light a cigar with his mouth.
Yeah.
Well, we do amazing things with our mouths around here, too. Mm-hmm. Just stick around, and you'll see what we mean. We are the American Adversaries,
and we were live.
Night, everybody.